I'm Tanzina Vega. You're listening to The Takeaway. And for some of you, the word witch probably conjures up images of pointed hats, black cauldrons, and maybe even some broomsticks. But for most actual witches today, the reality looks a lot different. Some do, in fact, cast spells, but not the kind of dark magic we see in movies like Hocus Pocus or The Craft. Witches also turn to things like crystals, tarot cards, potions, or altars. And though it's been viewed with suspicion throughout history, witchcraft today continues to enchant the popular imagination. In recent years, we've seen an explosion in the popularity of witchcraft across the United States, from practices rooted in English Wicca to African Yoruba to Latin American brujería. To explain our growing fascination with witchcraft and the role it has in our modern lives, we turn to two self-described witches, also called brujas in Spanish.
Hi, my name is Dr. Griselda Rodriguez Solomon, and I'm the co-founder of Brujas of Brooklyn.
My name is Pam Grossman, and I'm the host of the Witch Wave podcast and the author of Waking the Witch, Reflections on Women, Magic, and Power.
Actually, defining the word witch today isn't exactly straightforward. According to Pam, it really depends on the individual.
My definition of a witch is it is someone who is a carrier of divine feminine power and who chooses to use that power to transform the world, hopefully for the better. But certainly the word witch has been a negative epithet that others would call outsiders and people that they hoped to oppress. So I use the word in a intention of reclamation and with a lot of love and positivity.
Griselda, what about you? What does it mean to be a bruja?
To me, a bruja is a person, a witch is a person that is very much aware of themselves in every capacity, from the highs to the not so highs, the dark and the light and the shadow. And for me in particular, as a Black Latina, a bruja, a witch, is a person who is reclaiming a level of power and embodiment in particular in the context of dehumanization, whether it's a woman, a person of color, a queer person. It's a person who is unapologetic about their power, and the reclamation of that power has happened in the context of a lot of opposition. It's a beautiful identity, it's a healing identity, and it's an identity that has existed for millennia, and we're seeing a very beautiful resurgence of it again with the dawn of the Age of Aquarius.
Pam, let's talk a little bit about how you were drawn to witchcraft. When did that start for you? What was intriguing about it for you?
Well, like many children, for me, it started at a very young age. I loved fairy tales and mythology and spent lots of time alone in the woods in this kind of world of make-believe and play and magic. And then as a teenager, I discovered that there were whole sections of libraries and bookstores that had actual spell books. And so I no longer had to pretend to be a witch. I could actually buy a spell book and learn how to do ritual and how to cast spells and how to honor the moon. And it just connected with me on this very, very deep level, very intuitive level. My practice grew up with me as I grew up and got deeper and, a little bit more, I suppose, sophisticated, but is not that far off from what I was doing as a child in the woods, honoring nature, honoring my intuition, honoring the state of play that one can be in when one is truly free.
And Griselda, what about you?
My journey started before birth. My mother is a bruja. She doesn't identify as one because she still, has the word associated with the negativity and the dark magic. But we grew up in a world with altars and candles and ritual. So my mother became more connected to the Catholic Church in like our teen years and moved away from those practices. And it wasn't until my sister and I were maybe in our early 20s that we were intuitively called back to certain practices. We would go to the few New Age stores that were around and were reading about setting up an altar and working with nature, and a lot of it resonated. We were like, oh, this is what mommy did. So we became a little more intentional in reading and researching to put words to the things that we had already seen growing up. So it's been a beautiful journey to reclaim these practices in a very intentional way.
And I'm wondering, too, what does that practice look like, Griselda?
It looks very different for different people, because just like there are different ways to honor a Christian faith, there are different ways that witches and brujas practice our faith. I know in the West, there's Wicca, and that's a very specific, like, established way in which witches, especially in the West, have developed witchcraft. But for my sister and I, it's very much rooted in a faith that's birthed out of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. It's almost like a Dominican version of Odung. It's called the 21 Divisions or La 21 Divisiones. And it's very much working with the elements of nature to enhance the energy of a space to create an altar. It's a devotion to God. That's also something that I always am very clear on with witches. We do believe in God. We honor God. It just looks different than what, you know, Christian faiths have us believe. What the practice looks like is living as unapologetic and with as much integrity in every moment of your waking life as possible.
Pam, what about you? What does your witchcraft practice look like today?
You know, it doesn't sound dissimilar to what Griselda just described. I also have an altar. I celebrate the holy days of the pagan calendar. So these are holidays that mark the change of the season. I meet in a coven with other witches, and we celebrate the cycles of the body, the cycles of the moon. You know, that word embodiment, which came up earlier, is a really important one, because witchcraft certainly is about, yes, casting spells and doing rituals, but it's also about how you feel as a human being and making sure that you are generating and honoring that connection of your body to other people, to other life forms, and to nature at large.
Why has witchcraft become more popular in recent years?
If you trace the use of the word witch, it was almost always a negative epithet until about the 19th century with the first wave of feminism. And with every wave of feminism, we've seen a new generation reclaim the word witch and reclaim the archetype of the witch as generally a woman, though people of all genders can be witches and are witches, but it's generally someone who honors the feminine and who wants to subvert the status quo, because let's be honest, the status quo is generally speaking controlled by white heteronormative men. When all of the major institutions, religious institutions, political institutions, economic institutions are run by the same type of person, that means everybody else becomes marginalized, disenfranchised, and disempowered. And so the witch, I think, is a symbol of power and agency and connection that really resonates with anybody who has been deemed other. And witches represent, I think, a new paradigm where more of us are honored, where everyone is seen as powerful and sacred.
A lot of the popular culture around witches, especially as we are right here on the fringes of Halloween, are, you know, very white. We're looking at Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Hocus Pocus, even Wicked on Broadway. Griselda, what happens when a lot of our imagery about witches is, and brujas to a certain extent, is really focused on whiteness?
Yeah, very important question. I think that it dissuades a lot of people of color from identifying with these paths and traditions because we don't see ourselves in them. I never saw myself in this imagery of the witch until, you know, I started doing my own research and looking deeper into different faiths and realizing, like, oh, so it wasn't just European women that were persecuted during, you know, the Inquisition and 400 or 500 years of these campaigns to terrorize women and working poor people, you know, because then these techniques that European men were enforcing and acting on their own women were brought to the so-called New World and were fine-tuned on the backs of indigenous and African people, women in particular. So there's a whole history that then gets overlooked before we go and jump into Salem, right? That history is the history that brujas of color, witches of color, are reclaiming, because not only is it about stories of people, of women that were violated, persecuted, and mass, and their legacy hasn't been reclaimed, but there's magic in that. I think it's important that my sister and I have this platform and so many other brown and black brujas and witches, because we're tapping into an energy that's very cosmic and it's very universal. But a lot of the practices that witches of all colors and backgrounds are practicing and reclaiming today are actually housed and embodied by people of color, by communities of color, indigenous people, African people. Their legacies, their traditions are being reclaimed in a beautiful way, but they're mostly embodied by white bodies.
And Pam, what about you? What are some of the stigmas or misconceptions about witches and witchcraft today?
Well, a lot of them root back to the 14th century, when women primarily were being accused of being witches, by the Catholic Church at the time. And so the association of women as being lascivious or evil, having some malevolent power, and being in league with the devil, you know, having some kind of demonic power, is something that was part of a very intentional propaganda campaign that then sparked the witch hunts throughout Western Europe and later in the New England colonies, you know, from the 14th through 17th centuries. So that stigma is unfortunately still with us. And it really speaks to our fear of powerful women, or women who seem to be an aberration somehow. You know, sometimes women were accused of being witches because they owned land, or they were older, they didn't have children, or didn't have enough children. It still is a word that is used today to shame and silence women.
For those of us who aren't witches or brujas, I'd like to ask both of you, is there a way that some of us can bring some magic into our own lives, especially in such a difficult, difficult moment for so many people? Pam?
All human beings can benefit from ritual and from trying to connect with something that is greater than ourselves. You know, I call it capital S spirit. Some people call it God. Some people call it many gods. Whatever your paradigm is that resonates with you, I think doing some actual physical activity, whether it's lighting a candle or setting out some beautiful flowers or some kind of offering to that greater spirit, and then really mindfully putting out intentions and blessings for the most vulnerable among us, is a lovely practice that someone can do regardless of their faith or religious beliefs, because this world really, really needs those blessings and really, really needs us to all set our intentions to mindfully and actively transform the world to a place that is just and compassionate and healthy for everybody.
Griselda, what about you? How can people bring some magic to their lives in such a difficult time?
Finding the sacred in the mundane is a magical practice that can really enhance mood, that can really increase positivity, that can really uplift our outlook on life. It's finding the things that you do daily, like washing dishes or taking a shower or engaging with your children, and making that a magical ritual, a practice. And that means presence, because you get to appreciate the running water and washing dishes. You get to appreciate the awe in a child in the process of learning. And the most difficult but the most rewarding aspect of this little bit of magic that I'm imparting is being able to stay present and finding the sacred in the mundane in the most difficult moments.
Griselda Rodriguez Solomon is co-founder of Brujas of Brooklyn and a sociology professor at the City University of New York. And Pam Grossman is the host of the Witch Wave podcast and author of Waking the Witch: Reflections on Women, Magic, and Power. Pam and Griselda, it's been wonderful to talk to you both.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Supreme pleasure.